Empower Radio presents Out of the Fog. Join intuitive guide and spiritual teacher Karen Hager for lively, positive conversation with light workers, healers, and dynamic wisdom keepers. Get ready for inspiration and connection. This is Out of the Fog on Empower Radio. Here's your host, Karen Hager.
Hello and welcome to Out of the Fog. I'm Karen Hager. Each week at this time, we gather for spiritual conversation and enlightening guests. I want to spark your spirit and ignite your soul. I want to get you moving from stuck to unstuck, out of fear, and into love. And I am glad you're here. Time and distance are no barrier to energy, and that means that no matter when you're listening, no matter how you found us, you are here for a reason. And I hope that something you hear in the next hour lights you up and helps you move forward. Now, we are living in a time of expanded consciousness, of global shifts. And as we begin to take responsibility for our quality of life, for our health, what we find is that we have resources within us to connect with creation, nature, and our own divine essence. That's what we're going to be talking about on today's show. My guest is Dr. Julie Krall, and she is here to discuss how you can align with spirit, transform limiting beliefs, release negative cellular memory, clear emotional blocks, and shift your energy to support your highest divine potential. Are you ready to meet her? Dr. Julie Krall is a contemporary spiritual teacher, talk show host, soul care practitioner, counseling psychologist, and co-creative life coach. As a visionary mystic, Dr. Julie facilitates global change by assisting individuals, groups, and organizations to create an evolutionary shift of consciousness. Her 30-year career combines the pragmatic wisdom of Western psychology with a myriad of spiritual practices, mindfulness, a deep understanding of energy and mind-body medicine, and an acute awareness of emerging social forms. You can find out more about Dr. Julie and her work at juliekrull.com. Dr. Julie, welcome to Out of the Fog.
Thank you, Karen. It is such a delight to be here.
Oh, thank you so much for taking the time to be on the show. One of the things that really jumped out at me as I was looking at your bio here is visionary mystic. What does that mean to you? That's a beautiful term. It feels so broad. What does that mean to you, and how do you embody that?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a good question, and I've never spoken that out loud with anyone before. So let's see how co-creative this conversation goes. You know, I've talked about this a lot in a lot of other venues, but I've never talked about the label of visionary mystic. But when I was a young child at the age of 4, I had a near-death experience. And that was my first awakening to what I call the designing intelligence of creation, you know, this non-local reality that's out there for all of us to access. And you know, many of our listeners, I'm sure, can appreciate near-death experiences and other psychic and intuitive gifts. And yet, what opened for me at the age of 4 never really closed. I just kind of learned to walk a path in two worlds, but didn't really understand what that was or why that was different or that other people didn't experience that as a child, because that was just my normal way of being. And so I continued to have conversations with the spirit realms and continued to, like, literally see templates and what have you. But I had my real what would I describe it? A real, I'll just say my first visionary marching orders. That was a good way to say it. I got my marching orders when I was 11. You know, I was looking at the world. I was looking at relationships. I was looking at all the things that I really didn't appreciate about this physical reality, and was having a conversation with God I like to call it God. But I was having the conversation and just saying, I don't get this. I really, really don't want to be here. I don't understand why people treat each other like this. I don't, you know, and I'm having this conversation as an 11-year-old feeling alone and just really frustrated, not really scared, just not really in a place of appreciation for the beauty of life and humanity and our amazing planet. So in my lamenting, I was out in the yard and had this other very revelatory experience where I was transported out into the cosmos and was with what I like to say a spiritual figure, an old man, long beard, kind of wizard-looking, wizard hat, cape. But I was out in the cosmos literally looking down on planet Earth, and it was such a beautiful sight. And we were holding the Earth as if it was a snow globe in our hands. And it was kind of like this laboratory, but we're looking at Earth and then movie pictures of everything that I was frustrated just goes across the screen, and, you know, just violence and war and poverty and hunger and all of these really big world problems that we're looking at today, our climate change, other things happening. And at that moment, this flash of light comes down and touches the Earth. And then what happened after that was like all of these little lights began to sparkle and float around like a snow globe, like if you'd literally shake a snow globe and see the glitter moving around the Earth. That bolt of light just lit up all of these lights, and they just gently kind of landed on the Earth and just became really luminous and beautiful. It was this amazing image. And then they began to connect, and then they began to weave, and we created this amazing fabric, tightly woven fabric of light around the planet. And at that time is when I got my marching orders. I could see the plan. I could see the big picture. I could see my part in it. And ever since that, at 11, that's the kinds of experiences that I have. And so really trying to understand that template, really the designing intelligence of creation and how that moves through us and what our piece is in that as a humanity, and really where do we go in this evolution of consciousness on our planet. So that was the beginning, and that's how I finally settled into really owning that visionary mystic name and title. Is when I started sharing my experience with people, they're like inspired, and I can literally help to bring more light to the planet through that inspiration and education and teaching of some of these concepts that were downloaded so many years ago.
Wow.
How's that?
It's a beautiful image and a very powerful story. You know, I think of how I was when I was 11. 11 was when I decided I wasn't going to go to church anymore because it was all phony and everybody was a phony, right? 11, right? 11-year-old girls were obnoxious. And and it's interesting, at that same time, you at the age of 11 were having that beautiful, inclusive experience about connection and about getting that bigger view about the way that all the parts work together. To me, that's part of what mystic means. That mystic means that you are touching that, what's the right way to say this? Touching that that is within, deep within, that it's difficult to name, difficult to quantify, and yet it's there for us, and we all share in our ability to get into that space. So visionary mystic really lights me up when you say that.
I love your definition too. Thanks. That's really beautiful. And you know, it's funny when you talk about that with age 11. You know, here I was 4 and then 11, and you know, the numbers mean whatever they mean. But for me, as an 11-year-old, I always felt like a 64-year-old in an 11-year-old body, and I just didn't relate well with 11-year-old little girls at all. And you know, it was just part of who I was on the planet. And as those things unfolded, you know, I didn't have any idea that that's not what other people's experiences were. So it was quite a journey to really embody that and to own it and to claim it and to go, oh, okay, this is a part of who I am, and this is what I bring to the planet right now. So, yeah, thanks for saying that.
Oh, sure. And I'm wondering, part of what you teach is about soul care, about our ability maybe to look within to reunite with our divine essence, our essential self, and care for our soul. And I'm wondering how you experience or how you define soul. What does that mean?
You know what? I've tried to not define it for people because there's so many definitions and preconceived understandings that cross boundaries and barriers and languages. But I do like to, and I do use that word though, so it's important for people to understand. I like what you were saying with mystic, because there is a deeper sense of this universal intelligence that's deep within us. There's a connection to this divine designing intelligence, that essential self. And so I use a lot of other words to describe this, the differences between soul and then maybe our personality or our psyche or our ego or individual self. I really like to help people understand their connected self versus the disconnect, that separate self, that the parts of us that feel disconnected and maybe in fear and separation of the world. And so really the connected self is infinite and the separate self is finite. And you use essential self, that's one of my big words. The essential self really does feel and experience life in that deeper, more beautiful way of life and generativity and just really that connection with the whole plan of things. And the ego, you know, we did a really good job developing our ego on the planet over the last several thousand years, but really ego has set us up to compare and to contrast and to compete, and to stay in conflict. It's set us up to be separate. We see ourselves as separate from other humans, and therefore there's this need to measure up and to look at ourselves in relationship to that. And we've also, in that ego place, have seen ourselves separate from God, the universe, whatever you want to call spirit realm, whatever we want to call that, divine essence. And we've really seen ourselves as separate from the earth. And that one misconception is really at the root of a lot of our healing on the planet, when we can really see ourselves that we never really have been separate, and that ego is a beautiful way for us to develop who we are and who are our innate, unique gifts that we're gifted. It's a beautiful way to develop that, and yet we have to develop it in alignment and connection with the whole, or else it gets run rampant like a cancer cell in the human body. So that's how I really describe what this whole process is about, is really helping us to understand who we really are in relationship to the whole, but remembering it's not about annihilating the ego or the separate self. It's really about evolving the fear and separation that comes along with that, but really integrating that into the essence of who we are, so that we're bringing along those unique gifts and those unique pieces of the whole that we are. We're all just individual expressions of the whole, and we're part of an entire divine template, and we need every one of those expressions to be the expression and do its work in the world.
I love that idea that it's about bringing things together, that it's about integrating, not about harshly trying to remove a part of who you are. I think sometimes teachings on this subject can be a little harsh. Because if someone is yelling at me, what's the matter with you? You're in your ego, care for your soul. You know what I mean? I may be frightened and not want to. Those actions that we take in fear or that are reactions instead of responses lead to further disconnect. So I loved what you said about when we nurture ourselves in a connected way, it leads to greater connection individually, but also now as we look at our marching orders. Who are we on the planet? What are we here to do? Why are we here? It gives us greater context when we respond in love in that integrated way.
Yeah, and you know, love is the key here. When we talk about fear and love and separation versus unity, you know, those are a few buzzwords on the planet right now. Let's go into love and unity versus fear and separation. And when we really can understand, there's a beautiful prescription here, Karen, for people's healing. And this is the soul care, is really shifting our perception and our understanding into what that really means of our connectedness, that we never really have been separate. Because really, almost every ailment, every wound, every war, everything that we're trying to heal on the planet comes from this belief that we're separate, that there's not enough, that, you know, we have to compare, contrast. We do it with individuals and families and organizations and workplaces and countries and, you know, states and elections. I mean, every institution in our world right now today is wrestling with these very same things that were built from that ego perspective of a top-down patriarchal type of organization. And so we're out there competing for that good life, you know, the American dream. And if we really just sit back and take some deep breaths and really look at that and bring the soul back into the middle of everything, the center of everything, remember our connectedness, so much can be healed into the most amazing new levels that we've never experienced before on our planet.
And that coming into connection in that way, is that what soul care is? The practice of remembering, nurturing, strengthening that connection?
Absolutely. Connection is everything. And, you know, that's my big, I love that word. I love everything about it. But to evolve our consciousness on the planet, we have to create greater connectivity. If we look at nature and we look at how nature heals, it's more connectivity, and that is so important. And so the soul care piece is really learning how to align ourselves and our intention with this higher designing intelligence, this great mystical template that we're here on the planet with. It's really, how do we align that intention? How do we align with nature and nature's self-organizing template. So here we have this connection above with this spiritual template, with this connection below with who we are on the earth and how the earth really works. And then we connect inside and bring that to this place of our heart and really understanding us, going within deep into that inner sanctuary of what all of us have access to. We all have that place, and that still small voice is there, that guidance, that wisdom, that, excuse me, that divine intelligence. Everything is right inside. And so in the soul care, there's a couple more steps that I think are really important. And this is how I define the term co-creativity too, because we connect with this divine designing intelligence of the universe. We connect with our beautiful planet and this self-organizing, beautiful template of nature that's right here for us to learn from. We connect inward with this heart and this sacred space that's within us. Then it's so important to connect with one another and humanity and really, really connect from that place of heart, really bringing heart and soul into our relationships, into our workplaces, into our communities. And then the kicker, when we get really, really good, is to really learn how to surrender to this co-creative process, to this intelligence, and allowing creation to create through us. It's really letting go in that safe place of community. Once we're in that connection place, and really, that's where the magic is. It's quite amazing, quite stunning.
What, I wonder, would you say to someone listening who might be thinking, soul? I guess I was in touch with it once. I don't really know where that is. I'm not sure that I see a divine organizing intelligence in the world. It seems random and it seems violent, alienating to me. How can someone listening begin that process of gently going within?
You know, one of the things that I was reminded of when you were speaking was that there are many, many paths for this work. And finding a path that maybe lit you up before is really important. Because, again, if we go back to those unique gifts that we have and that we're all an individual expression of the whole, you might find that connection in nature. I have people who love mountain energy. I have people who love desert energy. I love people who love trees, who love gardens, who love water. Some people like it tropical, some people don't. So there's an individual template inside of us. One of them may be a connection to something in nature. If you remember just being out, staring up at the skies at night, looking at the stars and feeling that connection, pay attention to that. If you remember mountain climbing and being up in the mountains and just feeling an expansive of time and an expansion of consciousness, being out in the wilderness or the mountains, whatever your piece of nature may be, I'm on the plains, and a lot of men around here really feel that when they go out into the wilderness and walk along the river or walk fields or whatever. They're really feeling a deeper soul connection. Others, maybe through art and visual stimulation, think about all of our sensory perceptions. They can be portals that take us through that. Right now I'm staring at an artistic and a nature piece. A dear friend gave me an orchid plant, and it's sitting on my desk. And it's incredible. The shape and the colors of orchids are amazing. So just the colors and artistic design and creation, artwork, whatever, might be through music. You know, a lot of people can really connect and go there through music. Music is incredibly important because of the vibrational frequencies, of course. Art and color and all these other things are too, as well as the vibrational frequencies on Earth. We're all talking about, all of this is all about frequencies and the vibrational energetic portals that can take us to those deeper levels. So music, art, human relationships, babies, animals, puppies. I mean, I could go on and on and on. I could go on and on, Karen. There's so many different portals, but I think the most important piece for your listeners is to really help them understand that they have their own individual path, and there's no right or wrong way. And see, we just had this whole conversation, and I didn't even mention a church or spiritual practice, because, of course, meditation is one very tried and true way. A lot of people find it in their religious practices. There's music in a lot of that. There's so many of these other things. So it might be your individual path. It might be through the practice of religion. It might be through something totally different, because it's time for us to remember that we are universal and that this exists in everyone. It's not just found in a church. It's communed and celebrated in a church with a community, but it's important for us to connect with this deeper part of who we are.
Oh, what I'm hearing you say is that when we allow ourselves, and that's a big part of it, because people will say, well, I don't really have time. I've got so much to do. When we allow ourselves, to connect with something we love, and we do that in a loving way, it connects us to that greater love, that higher love, that divine love. So whatever it is that lights you up, do that.
Isn't that a simple prescription?
Yes, but we don't, do we? There are always a thousand reasons why we can't, or we don't, or we'll do it later, or it's not that important. And yet, see, to me, you know me already, you know I'm a big spiritual, daily spiritual practice nut. To me, that's the most important thing you can do, because then everything, all the things in your, quote, real life, you can respond to that from a much deeper, much more centered place when you have that practice in place of finding something you love and allowing yourself to do it.
Yes, and you know that the beauty and the ease and the joy of aligning with that is that when we do go into this connection and this loving what we love, allowing us to connect to this deeper love, when we go there, we get into the flow. We get into the universal flow. It's like grace and ease and joy can flow through us in our relationship, in our work, in our hobbies, in our life. So starting from that connected place really moves us into a really powerful place in the universe, which is so different than where we are when we think we're separate and we have to compete and we have to get up and we got to make money and we got to create certain bucket lists, but they're more driven toward that ego place. And so, yeah, why not wake up every day and remember to love what we love?
And those bucket lists, that idea of here are the things I need to accomplish. I was working with someone a couple weeks ago who said, I had it all planned out. And by this time, I was supposed to be in a completely different place. I was supposed to have 4 children. I was supposed to have made these career. And yet I'm not in that place. What do I do? And what I said to them is, what you do is you be where you are now. You can't be where you thought you would have been. You can only be where you are now, and you get to choose, do I embody this time, this space? Do I embody this with love and with mindfulness, or do I sit in this spot with fear and regret and resentment and itchiness because I'm not in the place I thought I was going to be?
And isn't that a beautiful example of how simple the prescription is, because they have a choice? And that choice is exactly where the magic begins. And I say magic lovingly, but a lot of people want a quick fix that's outside of them. And it's difficult to compete in the world with the world is full of self-help and fix it and empowerment and you're broken and you're incomplete and, you know, do this and do that. And it's really hard to compete with that voice. But the magic truly is in that one single choice that you just gave your client, is to say, wow, align, now be here now. What's your choice moving forward? Do you want to move more into fear and separation? Or do you really want to claim this amazing space, this amazing world, and this amazing life that's yours to claim just by that simple choice?
Wow.
Right here, moment.
You are listening to Out of the Fog with Karen Hager. My guest is Dr. Julie Krull. You can find out more about Julie and her work at juliekrull.com. We'll be right back after this.
I'm home and I love it. I'm home where I belong. I'm home, and I love it. I'm home, where I belong.
It's always nice to come home, but these days, many Americans are at risk of foreclosure and losing their homes. Fortunately, help is available. Making Home Affordable is a free program from the U.S. government that has already helped over 1 million struggling homeowners, and we want to help you.
I'm home. And I love it. I'm home.
Find out now what your options are. Go to makinghomeaffordable.gov or call 1-888-995-HOPE. The sooner you act, the better chance we can help you.
I'm home. Where I belong.
Brought to you by the U.S. Treasury, HUD, and the Ad Council.
Sassy! Sassy! this week's episode, Danger at the Old Well.
Last one to the old well's a rotten egg. Ha-ha, I win. Whoa! Ah! Sassy! Johnny fell down the well.
I'm wet.
What, Sassy? You know where Mr. Gunderson keeps his rope? Go get it, girl. What? You'd rather use this time to set people straight about shelter pet adoption?
I'm cold.
People shouldn't be afraid to adopt from a shelter? Because shelter pets are screened for sound health and temperament?
I'm wet and cold!
Sassy, what about Johnny? What? Let Johnny sit in the well until he learns to be more self-reliant? Sassy!
What did he say?
Sassy is brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org. Remember, adopt!
Have you ever lost a cat? And have you ever wanted to get your cat back after you lost it? Hi there, I'm Andrew Hoffman. I went on this website called InventNow.org. Then I decided to make an invention of my own. It's called the Lost Cat Magnet Invention. So you can get your cat back after you lost it. Just turn it on, and lost cats stick to it. That's a good cat. If your cat was hiding up in a tree, it won't be up a tree anymore. It will be stuck to the lost cat magnet. And sometimes they fly toward you in the air. Just listen to one satisfied cat. See? That's proof. You should go to the InventNow.org website too. But just remember one thing. Don't do a lost cat magnet.
Anything's possible. Keep thinking. Get started on your own inventions or just play some games at InventNow.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, the National Inventors Hall of Fame Foundation, and the Ad Council.
And now back to Out of the Fog with Karen Hager on Empower Radio. EmpowerRadio.com.
Welcome back to Out of the Fog. I'm Karen Hager, and my guest on today's show is Dr. Julie Krall. We're talking about the nature of the soul and what it is like to be a co-creator on this planet, what it means to be a conscious creator, and how tapping into that can help align us not only with our divine essence, with our essential self, but also can bring us into connection with everybody else, everything else. You can find out more about Dr. Julie and her work at juliekrull.com. That's JULIEKRULL.com. And of course, I love to hear what you think of the show. If you got questions, if you got any feedback for me about what you're hearing today or what you've been hearing over the past weeks, you can always reach me through my website, KarenHager.com. Julie, right before the break, we were talking about how people have that choice to be in alignment, that choice to take an active part of reconnecting themselves with the divine. You have said that our sort of self-help era, this time of personal development, this time of finding a fix outside of yourself is coming to an end. And I'm wondering then what comes next, because we're so used to living in that paradigm, even though it doesn't work for us anymore, we still hang on to that. So what's next?
Oh, what a good question. You know, I was just thinking about that this morning when I was looking at a friend who opened a wellness center, and it's all about that holistic perspective, and I'm just delighting in their whole philosophy of saying, you know, we're already whole. Let's just remember that and come back into alignment and vibrationally, you know, move the blocks and what have you. But really, what comes next is really learning to align with that highest divine potential that's within us. You know, if we see ourselves as broken and we need to be fixed, or we see ourselves as incomplete and there's something else to be whole, we're in a place of big trouble. And that's what a lot of our world today has been built on, is this non-holistic approach of seeing ourselves as broken and incomplete. And so what does that really mean for next? You know, I'm seeing amazing things happening in the world right now, and it is so beautiful watching the greater connectivity of people who are really in alignment beginning to align and connect more and more and more. so, you know, it's a good question. What's next? And many, many people have already stepped out of that old way of being and said, oh, wait, hello, it's simple. We already are. You know, we already have this. This is who we really are. And what happens internally with us when we remember that sacred part of who we are, when we remember that divine template and really connect inside, what happens is we really don't even belong in that other place anymore. We really can see it very clearly. We can see it outside of ourselves, and we can hold it from the essential self's perspective. And really, Karen, this is what is so cool. I've been developing a 7-step process for people to really quickly go back into alignment, to quickly go back into the essential self. And what happens is people can quickly experience themselves from separation by paying attention, by being mindful, and they'll go, oh, I'm feeling, I'm suffering, or I'm angry, or I'm frustrated, or something's bugging me, or whatever. And quickly we can go, oh, this is coming from separate self. This is coming from that disconnected place, and quickly realign and see it from the big perspective. And when we do that, we really create a whole different reality for ourselves. And we really don't even see, we don't experience the pain and suffering. We don't see it. We don't feel it. We don't experience it. It's just not a part of our life anymore, because we're not in that definition of ourselves, and we're not into that way of seeing the world. It's really quite beautiful.
You were talking about creating, how we can create our own reality, and that makes me want to ask you about co-creation. I know that that is a passionate topic for you. A lot of times people think of co-creation as the same as working together with somebody, collaborating with somebody. How do you define co-creation? What is it really? There's more to it than just let's all get together.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. It, you know, people interchangeably use that term now with cooperate or collaborate, and there's a real generative, powerful definition of this that many people have put out. And to summarize that, it's a lot about really that aligning with that spiritual essence of who we are, learning that, coming from that place first, so really aligning there, and then aligning with others that are in the same place in this synergistic play. And so, you know, as we're doing the individual work of everything that we talked about so far in the show, of really how do we align and remember the wisdom of nature and the wisdom of spirit and that the wisdom of that internal place in the heart, soul of who we are. So we're doing the individual work. Then we began to connect with other like-hearted, like-minded folks. And then co-creation happens, not just when we're gathering together with these people in synergistic play. It's not just collaborating, like we said, or working on a project. It's really understanding that divining intelligence, that design of the universe, wants to create through us. And so in this collective synergistic play, we really surrender to creation creating through us, intelligence moving through us. We go into this intuitive place. It's amazing and incredible insight, new ways of seeing, new ways of being, new things come into manifestation and form when we can go into that co-creative space of really, really aligning in that joint collaborative space of alignment, but then really understanding how to surrender and let go.
And that brings us into the power of community, the power of having support, having creative partners, co-creative partners, who can support us as we support them, a community that we really are in alignment with. That's difficult to find, though. How can we know or find the right partners or the right community or the right sort of field for us to be doing this work in?
That is a good question. Thank you for asking that, because a lot of people feel that isolation. And when we're talking more connectivity, how do we do that? And, you know, ideally, having people right in our own communities, in our neighborhoods, is ideally. It's really good to connect face-to-face and to see each other. However, what we're seeing on the planet, which is really quite amazing, thanks to the Internet, thanks to this new connectivity of this noosphere of electronic connection, people are connecting all around the planet via different avenues, different modalities. And so whether you're exploring different organizations who are talking about co-creativity and connectivity, whether you're taking a class together, whether you're learning from a teacher, you know, it's important to remember that as we're moving into this new place, really the time of the guru and the teacher outside of ourselves is going away as well. But people are gathering in the teachings of a lot of wisdom, sages, and what have you. And so that gathering, whether it's online or not, people are learning how to stay connected. So I've watched different communities be together literally via phone or computer every week for hours. I'm a part of a community right now. We meet every Monday morning in a co-creative connection. And I love it. I love it. So much can happen out of that. But then people are gathering, too, across the country. There are a lot of people who are gathering in co-creative community and celebrating that. And so, you know, there's resources on my website. I have a page that's just totally dedicated to amazing people doing amazing things in the world. And so go there and play around and look around and look at organizations and remember that almost every sector of society right now is in transformation. And so if you're passionate about education and transforming education, go find others who are passionate about it and then develop a co-creative community that's around your passion. Maybe your passion is the environment. Maybe your passion is relationships or spirituality or government or politics or whatever it may be. People are gathering in this synchronistic play together. We have a workshop coming up. Not a workshop. It's totally not a workshop. We have a gathering. It's so not a workshop. We have a gathering of co-creators coming up in June at Sunrise Ranch in Colorado, where people are coming from, well, actually, Washington to Florida, the Cape Cod down to California, and everywhere in between, and a few are traveling across the oceans to be with us. You know, people come from everywhere to just remember who we are and to really just re-energize those connections and be in synergistic play. And so people are beginning to gather everywhere, Karen. If they can't find it in person, find it online or watch for different places where people are gathering, because it's everywhere now. It is so beautiful. And we're not hearing that. We need to share that good news more. That's kind of what I try to do on my radio show, All Things Connected, is to really show people what good is happening in the world by people gathering in this synergistic play and co-creating initiatives and innovations and really changing our world one expression of the divine at a time.
And that stream of information can be so overpowering that's part of why it's so important to be centered before you plunge into that stream, I think. Because I also see in that stream of information, Julie, things that are part of the disconnected world, that are part of the fragments, that are designed to break people apart instead of bring them together. And I think that's why as we plunge into that online world and as we're looking at communities, that they truly are co-creative communities, that they're communities with integrity, that we allow ourselves, through approaching this from love, we allow ourselves to be drawn to the people, the places, the causes, the expressions that feel right to us. And when we're not connected, we can't feel that. We don't know. We grab at stuff.
Yeah. Yes, that is a really good, important point, because two things that I've watched happen, and I'm sure you see this with people you work with too, if we don't start with that individual practice, if we don't start with that deep connection and seeing ourselves from the essential self and understanding what that is to activate that, number one, like you mentioned, we get pulled onto other paths that aren't in our highest potential and our highest good. And number two, because there's so much with this high vibrational frequency, there's so much that can come through. People will literally blow fuses. I like to use it like a metaphor of our electrical system in our homes. Is literally people can't hold and channel that kind of frequency, and so they literally, they'll break down, they'll blow fuses, and they can't do that. And so, number one, the practice has got to be first, that people really understand who they are and this divine template that's within them for their highest potential. And then starting that practice, then connect with the right community. And thank you for mentioning that, because that is so important. There's all kinds of communities out there, but you are very right. Let's all move into that place of love and trust. And really a barometer or compass for that is really peace and joy. You know, when we connect with that place, we do experience a kind of peace that passes all understanding, a joy that's infinite. And when we're there, we know it's right.
I was watching a documentary yesterday about some people who brought the practice of Vipassana meditation into a very violent prison setting, and looking at the way when we sit with our anger, when we sit with the things that we've done or how we're feeling, the things we don't allow ourselves to look at about ourselves, how that not only shifts us, but in this case shifted that community, a segment of that larger community. And what is so powerful to me, Julie, is that when we shift individually and then as a small group and then as a larger group and as a larger group, tremendous change. Real change, not just, you know, woo-woo change we're talking about maybe someday, but actual practical change comes when we connect in this way. So how does this co-creative process, how does it practically work in the world?
You know, speaking practically, this is so fascinating, because science is catching up with spirituality, and spirituality is connecting back with science. So much amazing research is being done right now on our planet that's showing the exact thing that you talked about. I'm sure they probably mentioned research based from practicing the meditations in the prison systems. Because what we're learning from the very fundamental, essential building block piece of this is that we now can measure the electromagnetic field of our heart. And so understanding what really happens when we allow ourselves to go within, we create this coherence that's in our heart. And our heart literally begins to beat in a much more relaxed, coherent manner. It's the same mechanism that happens with meditation, but we're learning really efficient, quick ways to get there now by focusing on our heart energy instead of trying to still our mind, which can be like a monkey mind. So what science is doing with this new spiritual practices and understanding is really measuring that when our hearts go into coherence, our mind follows. And we're building a very practical electromagnetic field, and that field expands. And literally, science right now can measure that field around our hearts, Karen, that goes out 10 to 12 feet when we're in that coherent state, when we're really in that place of relaxing and releasing and going within and really focusing on that love, like we're talking about doing what we love and loving what we do and expanding it, taking it into the bigger place of love, that divine love. When we focus there, we literally can measure that love as this electromagnetic field. And what's happening is anyone coming into that field, that influence of that person that's in this coherent place, they will go into coherence as well. Mm-hmm. And so where it's not just an imagination of, wow, this is something nice that will happen someday. Literally, science is showing how when people can be in this resonant field of the heart space, other people can easily move into resonance, and hence, here we have more connectivity, the co-creative process. We join each other in that resonance field. We join each other in that genius, that divine genius that's within us. And then we can literally measure the effects of change with those relationships and in that field. And so practically speaking, what does that really mean besides, wow, a good feeling and connecting and feeling, you know, the divine wisdom of the universe moving through us? Practically speaking, we have centuries of research on stress and what have you in the body, but literally that coherent field, that resonant place, has a positive effect on our health and our well-being on every level, spiritually, mentally, physically, emotionally. And so all of the old stress management practices that we've been able to measure and say, wow, we're reducing heart disease, we're reducing all of these other stress-related illnesses, people are getting better, we can measure the health impact simply from these very simple techniques. And it's incredible. And so I imagine I can see those prisons in the meditation. Can't you just see the people just growing and getting healthier? And why wouldn't we promote something like that on the planet?
Now, even though chronological time is an illusion, I firmly believe I know that we're at the end of our time today. And I'm wondering, can you, for listeners who want to continue their engagement with you, who want to check out more of your work, can you let people know how they can find you?
Oh, yes. Thank you for the opportunity. You know, you've mentioned my website, juliekroll.com. I'm also on Facebook, All Things Connected with Dr. Julie. And the Dr. Julie Show, we air every Tuesday afternoon, and we talk about a lot of these things with so many luminous guests every Tuesday. But one of the things I will invite them to do is I do have a couple different programs of that individual soul care that we've been talking about. And then as a leader, we have lots of people who are already leaders. They're already visionaries. They're already out in the world doing this. And if they want to create more connectivity and experience this, I do have a 7-week program for them of how to create that greater connectivity and be in co-creative community together. So they can find resources, links on my website.
That is wonderful. Julie, thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thank you. What a delight it was. I always love hearing your voice. There's something angelic about it, Karen. It's so soothing, and I always appreciate that, and your wisdom is amazing. So thank you so much for inviting me and having me here. What a great conversation.
Oh, thank you very much. And thank you for saying all those nice things. You've made me blush. I'm glad it's radio, because I'm blushing right now. That was Dr. Julie Krull. You can find out more about Dr. Julie and her work at juliekrull.com. That's JULIEKRULL.com. And while you're on the internet, you're surfing around anyway, looking for co-creative communities, please check out my website, KarenHager.com. That's a great place for you to connect with me. We can either work together privately, but I'd also really invite your comments, your feedback about what you heard today. What questions on your own spiritual journey would you like to hear addressed on this show? Who's doing work right now that really lights you up and you'd like to hear them interviewed? You can always reach me through my website, Karen@KarenHager.com. And I've also started a new video series that you'll find on YouTube called Ask Karen Hager, where I take questions that were emailed to me from listeners just like you and answer them on the air on YouTube. And I do that once every 2 weeks. So all the details and the links, everything you need to know is at KarenHager.com. And thank you so much for listening today. Together we are spreading a little more light in the world, and a little more light is always a good thing. Until next time, I'm wishing you peace.